Welcome, Christian Israel, warriors for Yahweh all over the world. And folks, we're going to experience World War III. It's coming. The Jews have planned it, and so it must happen. Of course, is also prophesied by Yahweh. Also prophesied by Albert Pike, and that is the theme of today's show. I'm waiting for Pastor Martins to call in. Got a hold of him by phone a while ago, and so I guess he has to activate his computer to get on the show. Otherwise, he can call in, but we'll give him a little chance, some time to call in. So what I'm going to address is the Three World Wars of Albert Pike prophecy. And, of course, there's the naysayers. For example, one website says that there's no record of this letter, but there is Cardinal Carlo Rodriguez of Santiago, Chile, who wrote in the Freemasonry Unveiled that there's a copy of this letter at the British Museum. Well, you know what's going to happen to that type of documentation. They're going to remove it. They're not going to allow the public to see such an important Freemasonic document. All right, Pastor Martins, are you with us?
Good afternoon, Pastor. I'm with you. I'm sorry for that delay.
Aha. Okay, I think I hear you.
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear, Pastor.
Yeah, very good, very good. Okay, so we're going to discuss Pike's amazing predictions of three world wars. I'm going to switch to the Rents.com, which you should have a link in your Skype section there. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you want to open that up.
Yes.
Yes, and by the way, you know, because we've been having all of these hurricanes in the Northern Hemisphere, how are things going down your neck of the woods, weather-wise?
Pastor, just, it's interesting you're asking, just yesterday afternoon and last night, we had a cyclone, which is very uncommon for this type of the, or this time of the year, down the Natal South Coast, from Port Edward all the way up to Durban and even north of Durban. My daughter lives in Belito, just north of Durban, and they were out for the day at the very institution where her daughter took her usual
amusement. Okay.
Yesterday afternoon, during the
You're breaking up.
Pictures of.
Okay. Please repeat what you just said because you're breaking up. Okay. Let me see if I can reconnect with David. I'm going to disconnect. I'm going to disconnect and recall because this is too much interference. I'll call you right back. Okay, so perhaps because of the cyclone going on down there and the horrible weather, it looks like the horrible weather is now worldwide. Of course, there is a harp installation in Australia, and there's probably others in the Southern Hemisphere as well. So let's see if we can reconnect and get a better signal. Okay.
Hello.
So
hi,
let me restart. Okay. All right, Pastor Martins. Okay, let's try again. All right, so you were just trying to describe the weather.
Yes.
In South Africa.
But Pastor, if you consider it this time of the year, we should still be in virtually the finishing off of our winter.
Mm-hmm.
And just yesterday we had this massive cyclone which struck the Natal South Coast, which is about 150 kilometers south of Durban and all the way up the coastal area, right even north of Durban, where trees were uprooted and houses, roofs were blown off, etc.
Oh, okay. And welcome to America.
The pictures that I've seen The pictures that I've seen is that of an absolute, you can see tremendous power where massive trees were broken off, you know, above the trunk.
Right.
Or the trunk just above the ground. Totally just broken off, like somebody had snapped a twig.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, just to interrupt, the latest hurricane that went up Florida, it had sustained winds for 37 hours of 150-mile-an-hour winds.
Wow.
That's incredible, unprecedented for a storm to have that high a velocity of winds for that duration.
For that period of time.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and now back to you. So you're having similar weather down there. Amazing.
Yes. Pastor, the other thing that also needs to be said is that in cities like Bloemfontein, for this time of the year to have temperatures in excess of 40 degrees centigrade.
That's in the 90s. We're 90s.
No, it's beyond the beyond.
Oh, really? The hundreds, in the hundreds? Yes. Oh, in the wintertime?
Yes.
In the wintertime.
Well, it's we're hardly into our spring, and normally this time of the year we still have snow falling and you know, cold spells where deep in October we've had cold spells or snow spells. But this time of the year, really, to be, to have such intense wind patterns and storms, which seem to just arise abruptly. People weren't even aware of it coming.
Yes.
My eldest daughter living in Durban, she was telling me they were at the beach yesterday. Her son is a very keen surfer, and they found that the wind was beginning to blow quite a bit, but not that bad for a hot summer afternoon. And she said when they got home, it was like it had turned into a very mean wind storm and dark clouds. And she said the wind started howling, and but they weren't even aware of the fact that there was a tornado or a cyclone that was coming up the coast.
Right.
And
no warning.
When she saw my WhatsApp messages asking her if they are okay, because I heard about this sudden storm that struck the south coast, which was about 150 kilometers south of Durban, I sent her WhatsApp messages to sort of just soothe myself that they are okay. And
yes,
they didn't even know that they storm was heading their way.
It
came out of nowhere.
Yeah. What about chemtrails? Are they spraying chemtrails in the southern, above South Africa, like they are here?
Pastor, they've been spraying chemtrails over South Africa for many years.
Wow.
I can recall when I lived in Germiston, which is about 30 kilometers east of Johannesburg. I lived very close to the Rand Airport, which is it used to be the international airport for Johannesburg, but it became basically redundant as an international airport. It is mostly, an intercity type airport. And this airport hosted, I think, three aircraft that would regularly take off in those days. They called it cloud seeding to prevent hailstorms.
Okay, to prevent. No, I think it's the other way around. To make hailstorms. Yeah.
My view on this was that they were already in those days, and I'm talking about the late 70s, early 80s, mid 80s, they were already beginning experiments that would lead to the introduction of HAARP. They would actually ionize cloud particles, or even air particles, atmospheric air particles, ionize those for the purpose of manipulation by means of high frequency interference or modulations, as can be expected from installations like HAARP, which is very clearly for the purpose of man-made weather manipulation,
right,
and in the form of military strategic military warfare.
Okay, yeah. Now, up here, the excuse, to the extent that the mass media even covers cloud seeding and chemtrails, they will tell us that they're doing this because of global warming, and they're deliberately spraying these chemtrails to reflect the sunlight back to reduce global warming. But I don't think it's working. what do you think?
No, it is. No, Pastor. I think that is a story like it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Why would they? My personal feeling, you must remember that the Freemasons have been known to create a circumstance which they provide the solution for.
That's right.
At the price. And that has been their modus operandi for the past 150 years that I can find traces of.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the kind of thing that beriddled the Boer history, the Boer people's history, the Boer People's Republic's history. They provide a solution, they create the circumstances for which they provide a solution, and that solution is always at a tremendous price.
Yes.
And
well, it's interesting.
The Boers, the republics.
Right, yeah, the meddling of the Freemasons, and we know who's behind the Freemasons, right?
Absolutely.
It's interesting that the history of the outsiders meddling in South Africa, especially the Boer republics, our American history is very similar, but early on we had the Captain Morgan affair. He had published a book exposing the operations of the Freemasons, even led to the formation of an anti-Masonic party. We had president, John Quincy Adams, elected under that ticket. Okay. And yet still today, we have denials from the mainstream media that the Freemasons and all these secret societies actually exist, right? Refusing to acknowledge their existence. So Freemasonry was suppressed just before the Civil War, but it came back very slowly after the Civil War. There's Freemasonic buildings all over America, okay? The main headquarters is Washington, D.C. They have their main Masonic temple with a statue of Albert Pike. A statue of Albert Pike right there in Washington, D.C. Absolutely amazing.
But I believe that during... is it Obama's reign, or was it George Bush's reign that the Oval Office was also temporarily reverted to a Masonic temple from time to time?
May have been. Well, yeah, Bush was a bonesman, Skull and Bones. Skull and Bones was directly created by the Illuminati. It's very similar to Freemasons, but even more, it's not quite as big, but I would say they're closer to the top, the Bonesmen, okay? And so they've had several presidents, several Bonesmen presidents. Bush and Kerry was also a Bonesman, ran against Bush.
Yeah.
So, and Daddy Bush was a Bonesman.
Daddy Bush.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So you can see the power of Freemasonry is very alive and well in America.
And Bill Clinton as well.
Who?
Bill Clinton.
Oh, Clinton, absolutely. Clinton's a Rhodes Scholar. Okay.
Exactly.
So you have all these secret societies, all dedicated to the proposition of a one-world government. Okay. Are our present rulers. And they're just about every country in the world, with the possible exception of Russia, where Putin is one of the few. Okay.
Did you say Putin? There was just a hiccup in the network poster.
Yes, Putin. It seems that Putin is the only major leader who is actually discussing, the globalist negatively. What's your thoughts on that?
Pastor, for many years, I believe that Putin was also, at least had his hands clean in this regard.
Okay.
But I've seen pictures where Putin is also with his Freemason skirt, this apron that they wear.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that goes back to the garden, doesn't it? They're covering exactly, up their sin.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And he's made some switches over the past, I would say, about 3 or 4 years. At one stage, he said he is Russia will protect the identity of the Christians, and they will uphold the Bible, etc. And then I get messages that people in Russia are being rounded up because they had attended a church, a home church cell. They were rounded up and they were incarcerated because they. So I'm getting mixed information in this regard. Now, I don't know whether that could be misinformation, which is also, of course, propagated by the Freemasons, or which could be propagated by the Freemasons for the purpose of antagonizing or deriving a negative attitude against Putin.
That's right.
Because they have a definite, there's an agenda against Putin that already been attempts to assassinate him. There had been attempts to, in fact, bring his plane down. In fact, a plane was brought down, which they thought was his.
Uh-huh.
And so one must keep these things in mind, because he is definitely, all indications are that he wishes to reveal the Soros and the Rockefeller.
Yes. Right.
These evil money monstrosities.
Yes.
That are in it just for the money. And I think time will tell on which side of this Freemason fence he is sitting in fact, whether he is sitting on the fence or whether he's on the right or the wrong side of the fence.
Well,
but
considering the history of South Africa and misinformation in the global press about what was happening to your country, with them lionizing, that is, praising Mandela and demonizing the Boer people and apartheid, which was the best thing the blacks of Africa have ever had. They were never better off than under any system than apartheid. Okay, they were simply savages killing each other, having intertribal warfare before apartheid actually put an end to that. And they actually had prosperity, right? Yeah. Right. So,
in fact, they had the greatest population growth south of the Sahara.
That's right. Thanks to the Boer people. Thanks to apartheid. Yeah. But the lies that have been told to the world about the Boer people and about apartheid are just unbelievable. And we've covered that many times in this series.
Yes.
But here, let's get to Pike's letter to Mazzini, and it starts out, this is from Rents.com. Albert Pike received a vision, which he described in a letter that he wrote to Mazzini, dated August 15, 1871. Now, I don't believe this was a vision. I think Albert Pike, being the second in command, he was the head of the World Freemasonry at this point. It's inside information is what it is, not a vision. It's inside information. This letter graphically outlined plans for three world wars that were seen as necessary to bring about the one world order. And we can marvel at how accurately it has predicted events that have already taken place. Okay.
Yeah.
So he says, it is a completely believed fallacy that for a short time, the Pike letter to Mazzini was on display in the British Museum in London, and it was copied by William Guy Carr. Well, whether it was or not, this letter...
It's irrespective.
Yeah, it's they could not allow such a letter to be displayed, if it ever was displayed. Okay, but several writers have written about this, including William Guy Carr, and I mentioned before you came on this South American Catholic priest. Okay, or I don't know if he's Catholic, but he wrote about it as well. Anyway. I'll just go scroll down to the First World War. Here's the actual contents of the letter. The First World War must be brought about in order to permit the Illuminati to overthrow the power of the czars in Russia and of making that country a fortress of atheistic communism. Now, this was written in 1871. Did this come to pass, Pastor Martins?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes. And, of course, we know that Albert Pike, he was a successor to Mazzini as head of the World Illuminati. And yeah. So he would have, in that position, he would have been even more privy to the plans of the Rothschilds in overthrowing Western Christian civilization. Okay, so he would have been, he was an insider as far up as you can possibly go. Okay, so it continues. Well, go ahead.
Foster, that's something that must be seen in parallel to this. Way back in 1995, I must remember that was prior to 9/11. That was prior to many of the events which followed 9/11. For example, the N1H1 virus, the
right.
Swine flu, and the all these devastating cyclones that have hit, and etc. And before even the coming about of the what do you call it? This FEMA.
All right.
There was this card game that appeared in the market in 1995, which already predicted the collapse of the two World Trade Centers. Collapse of building what's it? The building seven. 12 or building 7.
Building 7. Yes.
The attack on the Pentagon, and the parallels between what was drawn on the cards as compared with that which appeared in the national or the mass media at the time of these so-called attacks. The parallels of the pictures, when the pictures were drawn, it was as if the pictures were drawn of photographs that were taken 15, 20 years before the time.
Yeah. Even on Homer Simpson, they had episodes depicting the Twin Towers with planes crashing into them several years before 9/11, right?
And then, also, if one considers, for example, this thing of the flu, and then there's also a depiction of the so-called treaty between Netanyahu and the Saudis in terms of the establishment of a rebuilding of the Temple Mount, or the Temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem.
Right.
And the pictures that was evident on the God games cards for that particular event seems like it is exactly a redraw of the pictures that were taken at the event itself. And one of these cards on the card game is also the Rapture. I don't know if you've seen that.
No, I haven't seen that.
Yes, and the Rapture is also one of the cards on this card game. And it just comes to show that there's going to be a false Illuminati created, a mock rapture. And
right.
So many people are going to believe that this is indeed the rapture.
They will. They will believe it. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. We definitely want to be left behind on that day. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yes. So the divergences caused by the Agentur of the Illuminati between the British and Germanic empires will be used to foment this war. And that's exactly what happened, because we know all about the Balfour Declaration, how the Jews took possession of Palestine by stabbing the Germans in the back, right? By getting America to come into the war on the side of the British, and thereby taking over Palestine, because it was under German-Turkish control at that point in time. Okay,
that's correct.
And so, that happened. I mean, this is for real. You know, obviously, this was the plan, the Illuminati plan, and it was carried out. Okay, so. Students of history, the article says, will recognize that the political alliances of England on one side and Germany on the other, forged between 1871 and 1898 by Otto von Bismarck, co-conspirator with Albert Pike, were instrumental in bringing about the First World War. Okay. Now, I was in my research on the Civil War, I came across a document which stated that Lord Palmerston, who was, I think, the British Prime Minister in the 18, all the way back in the 1830s and 40s and 50s, he actually was the first one to propose a Jewish state in a formally a formal Zionist proposition all the way back then. Okay, so we know that the Rothschilds have had this plan in the works for at least 100 years and more. Okay.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he would not even have suggested it. You know, what interest is there for Britain in 1830 to establish a Jewish state in Palestine?
Nothing, Pastor.
None. Not even today.
It could not even have been perceived at that stage.
Right. Right. But because Lord Palmerston was an Illuminatus, and he's being totally close to the Rothschilds, he would be privy to these plans. And that's why he brought it up. That's why he mentioned it. Okay.
Correct.
All right. The Second World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences between the fascists and the political Zionists. Does that sound like that came true?
Absolutely, Pastor.
Yes, yes.
And what is also significant, is the fact that Italy's Mussolini sided with Hitler.
Right.
Which makes it quite an intriguing situation, because Mussolini was and must have been influenced by the Vatican. Why would he have been a supporter of Hitler if Hitler was to, unless he, it was for the purpose of to erode the authority of the Italian government to the degree where the Vatican has more power than the Italian government, which is one of the possibilities that I have already, you know, prospected on.
Right. Well, the Vatican, let's put it this way, according to Martin Luther, the Vatican / Pope is the Antichrist. Okay.
Yes.
That's what the Protestant perspective was at the time. But that was when the Roman Church was at the height of its power. Today, it's a second-rate power subservient to global Jewry. Okay.
Correct.
So, and the Book of Revelation actually prophesies that when it says the beast will give power unto the false prophet. Okay.
Yes.
In other words, the Jews have taken over the Catholic Church and are using the Catholic Church to manipulate Christians, especially Catholics, but other Christians worldwide. You know, Christian Zionism is another example of the false prophet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So, the brainwashing techniques and the coalition of Illuminati from one country to another, and that's why they had to have the United Nations to put. It's basically a meeting place for the Illuminati, United
Correct.
Nations. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
And I don't know if you. Yes, you must be aware of the fact that Jan Smuts, this so-called imitation Boer general, whom was also a deceptor of the Boer generals, the rest of the Boer generals, and led to the inclusion of the Boer republics into the Union of South Africa. And he was also the deceptor whom initiated the so-called peace treaty after the Anglo-Boer War.
Right. Now, didn't he have, Jan Smuts, didn't he have a close relationship with Cecil Rhodes and some of the other high-ranking Illuminati?
Yes, Louis Botha, Cecil John Rhodes, and Jan Smuts were often spoken of the Three Musketeers or something similar, the Three Some or whatever.
Yeah,
but on that same court, Pastor, Jan Smuts was one of the chieftains of the establishment of the what was then known as, or the forerunner of the United Nations.
Right.
I've forgotten what they used to call that in the past.
Oh, the League of Nations was the first.
The League of Nations.
Right.
Now, it is very evident that somebody who would be one of the founder members of the League of Nations would also have a lot of friends in that regard.
Oh, sure.
And obviously, with the formation of the Union of South Africa, that was what was, I would say, that was what the purpose was right from the outset. That was why Jan Smuts got involved with the Anglo-Boer War, because he wasn't a Boer, but he had his role to play. And first of all, he had to get he had to win the confidence of the Boer generals.
That's right.
That was why he ventured. But the strange thing is, Jan Smuts himself was never in any of the major battles on the battlefield.
Oh, okay. So he's a general in name only.
He's general in name only. He didn't participate in any of the major battles. Those battles were delegated to those Boer generals who were true Boer generals, like Marnie Maritz and Delarey and De Wet. Well-known Boer generals, but Jan Smuts became basically known when he did the deception part of the thing right at the end of the war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, he was.
Go ahead.
He was not seen as how can I say? He was not seen as a
patriot,
Anglo-Boer War hero at all. Not at all. He wasn't seen as a hero. No, because he never fought in any of the major battles.
So this is just his whole life is a lie then, right? Absolutely. And of course, here we see again the global media, which was already controlled by the Jews around World War I, with very few exceptions, lionizing people like Jan Smuts and various other war criminals, right? Yeah. And just like they did with Martin Luther King Jr., right? Marching, looting, killing King, and lionizing him as if he was such a great hero, when in fact he's a communist thug, right? And so this is the kind of reporting we've been having to endure for the last 100 years, and the Boer people have had to endure this for even longer.
Exactly.
For even longer, okay? So continuing with the Second World War statement, this war must be brought about so that Nazism is destroyed and that basically white nationalism is destroyed, in particular Germany, and that the political Zionism be strong enough to institute a sovereign state of Israel in Palestine, okay? There's Jews actually say... jokingly, Hitler was the one who created Palestine. Hitler created the Israeli state. And in a sense, that's true, because the Nazis had an agreement with the Zionists called the Transfer Agreement, by which the Nazis would give up Jews and put them on ships and send them to Palestine. This is exactly what the Zionists wanted, because they needed Jews to populate the territory. Yeah, okay.
Yes,
nothing is ever said about the transfer agreement.
Yeah.
Nowhere.
Well, in exactly the same way, when the Union of South Africa was formed, the Boer republics were flooded by the Cape Dutch for the purpose of ensuring that Jan Smuts and his cahoots would win every election past the formation of the Union.
Yes, yeah. Colonization of non-Boer people in order to influence the vote, okay? So that's why the Democratic Party in America has been importing non-whites into America for all these decades, right? So that they would keep the Democratic Party in power.
Exactly.
Okay.
Of course they would.
Yeah. Now, the article continues, during the Second World War, international communism must become strong enough in order to balance Christendom, which would be then restrained and held in check until the time when we would need it for the final social cataclysm. Okay, so let's analyze this statement. To what extent do you think Christendom has been held in check since World War II?
Well, Pastor, if you look at in the South African context, how the message of the church has deviated from that which it had at the turn of the 1800s, 1900s.
Okay.
Total turnabout or a roundabout on what they used to teach in those days. I know, for example, that in the Dutch Reformed Church, the official church dogma was that salvation was by election.
Okay.
Which meant that they believed from the church dogmatic point of view that there was an Israel, and this Israel was elected by, well,
by God.
That was even before the church. They thought that the church was this Israel that was predestined for salvation.
Right.
And then during the years afterwards, they started teaching more and more that about this a spiritual Israel. In other words, this initial Israel, which also included the church, now also encumbered or embraced all other denominations.
And all races.
Not denominations, but other races and other even beliefs.
Right.
Which it is today. And where the church was very greatly opposed to, for example, integration of races. In fact, the Dutch Reformed Church was one of the prime drivers of apartheid.
Right.
Because they propagated this idea that heaven was only for those that believed, and there was segregation. They even thought to a degree that there would be segregation in heaven.
Right.
And then
yes.
And then this roundabout thing came when it suited the Freemasons that this policy change would come about, and this was already in the late 70s, even in the middle 70s, where they decided, or that it became known in the upper echelons of the South African government, that the Freemason whites are going to have to surrender power to Freemason blacks.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, one must remember that the agenda is always with the end purpose. That end purpose have always been the establishment of a one world government under a one world leader. And that's the one that the Bible calls the anti-Messiah.
Right.
And that had been the purpose. Now, you can see that churches in general, even the Pentecostal churches, have changed over the past 40 years to the point where initially where they had segregation was a very, very definite thing. It was virtually it was virtually inexcusable or inexcusable for a person of color to enter into a white church.
Right.
And for the reason of their policies, they had, for example, separate church groupings and organizations. For example, they would have a white church organization, which is also replicated for the colored groupings in South Africa and also for the black groupings in South Africa, so that they had each had its own church structure.
Yeah,
and its
segregated,
own,
totally segregated. Yeah.
Totally segregated.
We had the same thing here in America until the 1950s. Billy Graham actually used to preach to segregated congregations. You know, he'd enter a big hall and it's a sea of white people. But then off in one corner were a bunch of blacks all sitting together, very much segregated from the white people, but he was preaching to both groups under the same roof, okay? Well, that all changed in the 1950s. And then suddenly, Billy Graham started promoting racial integration and all the blacks can mingle with the whites and blah, blah, blah. Well, my question to you, Pastor Martins, did the Bible change?
Pastor.
Okay.
The Bible never changed.
Okay. So it's obvious that the church has changed, not the Bible.
The message of the church has changed, but you must remember now that the church was also instigated by secret organizations. And those secret organizations that instigated and instituted the church obviously got all their dope for the finding of those churches. They got all of that from Babylonia.
Sure.
And and if you look
Jewish bankers.
I have a very interesting I have a very interesting bit of research that one of my friends made into the where does church come from? Even the name church, where does that come from? And it all originated from Babylonia. And if one considers, for example, that the daughters of this mystery Babylon, which is described in Revelation 17, if one looks at the description of the character of that mystery Babylon, and that the Bible explicitly says that it's the mother of the wars and the
mother of whores, harlots. Yes, mother of harlots.
And I must just get that particular scripture. I can say it in Afrikaans, but for the and in the Grievels, I'll have it in a moment.
Harlots in English, you know, the mother of harlots. Which would be the Roman Catholic Church.
But the Grievels, which it speaks about, let me just get it. I'm just opening my eastward here.
Right, the daughters of Rome.
It actually says something great there about the mother.
The mother of harlots, yes. I could look it up in English and maybe direct you to the verse. In English, the harlots, it would be the defining word, harlots. There we go.
It's abomination.
Okay.
The one that is...
Revelation 17:5. And upon her forehead was written a name... Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth.
I just want to get that on my King James version as well.
Yeah, and see how that reads in Afrikaans, because sometimes the Afrikaans language preserves a lot of the Greek better, certainly better than English does, okay?
And it says here, the woman was arrayed purple and scarlet, in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications.
It's the Catholic Church, all right.
And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations.
Oh, man.
That abominations, if you go and read on the Strong's definition of that...
abominations.
Dogma.
Oh, really? Is, the mother of dogmas.
Oh no, that Lugma.
Okay.
Is given as abomination or as idolatry.
Oh,
but
okay.
If you go and read in the Afrikaans Bible, and you'll see that it actually says the mother of the harlots and the abominations, and that which the Bible calls abominations. In other parts, here in the Pentateuch, is, for example, the abominations are those things which the Israelites had to, when they took over, when they marched into the Promised Land.
Canaan land, yeah.
That they had to, those were the things that they had to
destroy.
Utterly destroy.
Yes,
and
yes.
Those included, for example, pillars of stone, which of course are obelisks, these Nimrod penises, and the tablets of stone. Now, these tablets of stone are relating to, if you can recall, when we visited the Irini concentration camp. You remember, you were with me, and I still pointed out to you that these are the things that Father Yahweh prohibits. And that is that massive tablet of stone, which was also used to bury the bones and the skeletons of those that had died in that concentration camp. And it's just amazing how those are the things that are associated with churches, Afrikaner churches, how the churches have themselves littered or surrounded by these Nimrod phalluses. And those things which the Bible calls abominations are exactly what the church is associated with today. Each of these churches have these towers with a the wind vane, which is a... Are you there, Pastor?
Yes. Yeah, I'm here.
The wind vane, which is a rooster. And
right.
If the rooster, of course, being the symbol of when Peter denounced that he knew the Messiah. And the Messiah actually said to him, before the cock crows thrice, you will have deceived, or rather denounced me so many times.
Well, here, I mean, and what that verse says, the modern churches are reinstituting the old idolatry that the Israelites were commanded to destroy. They're inviting homosexuals, lesbians, Hindus, Jews. I mean, everything that Yahweh instructed the Israelites to destroy, the churches have reinstituted. I'm talking to the so-called Christian churches.
Well, Pastor, if you consider where Christianity came from, also from Babylonia.
The Roman version. Yeah, it's the mother of harlots really is, what's her name? Semiramis and Tammuz.
That is Isis with Semiramis.
Okay.
The baby Semiramis and Tammuz.
Tammuz is the son. And, Semiramis and Isis and the Greeks had another word, Helen, I think they call it. I forget. Athena,
so, yes.
Yeah, okay. So it's basically the same symbolism being carried down from the very ancient past.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whether one looks at it from Egypt, from Babylonia, or from Greece, these three are very close knit in terms of their mythologies and their belief systems, etc. But obviously very, very close related. And of course, that is one of the reasons why it becomes so difficult to identify these things in the Roman Catholic Church, because you don't know whether it comes from Babylonia or whether it comes from Egypt or whether it comes from Greece. Because there were times when these three had different powers of influence over the known world in those days.
Yes, yeah. So we see all of these abominations coming back into the churches after, even though the Roman Catholic Church practiced a lot of these abominations in disguise. Okay.
Not anymore, Pastor.
Not anymore. No, it's no longer in disguise. It's open.
I don't know whether... Have you seen that video that is actually, floating around on Facebook, where Lucifer's actually openly worshipped in the Vatican?
I've known about that for years, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, the current Pope, the Pope even made an admission to that fact. Yes. So it's out in the open if you care to look, you know. But Roman Catholics will be in denial about that, okay? Even though it's right there in their faces, they will still be in denial, right? Okay, with only about 10 minutes left, let's go into the Third World War. The Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the Agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. Mm-hmm. Okay, how do you see this? Has it become evident that, and part of the Zionists is the Christian Zionists? I would say it's more accurate pitting Christianity against Islam, or the West against Islam. Okay. How do you see it, Pastor?
Pastor, in South Africa, we've seen a massive rise in Islam.
Really?
Even in South Africa? Many of the churches, and then I mean the buildings, the church buildings, in cities and towns, where, of course, blacks have started moving into these areas, which have become too dangerous for whites to walk around at night.
Right.
These churches, and of course also with the discontent with of the people, with the churches being inundated with those practices which are evidently prohibited in the Bible. For example,
right. Well, sacrifice.
Sodomy.
Sodomy, right? Right.
Sodomy.
Having sex with children. Having sex with children. That's coming
that's
back.
That's right. And also where sodomists can even become ministers in these churches.
Right.
So the people have become discontent because this is one of the things that they cannot just they cannot just hide this from the populace
right.
anymore.
Yeah.
And the churches have become the centers of or the synagogues of Satan, because
right.
if you read in Romans chapter 1, and you'll see that the way in which the deterioration or the way in which regression takes place, because they, knowing that he is God, they don't worship him as God anymore. For that reason, he has given them over unto their own lustful desires, mm-hmm. and then they become homosexuals and
right.
But then
well,
they become homosexuals and whatever.
Yeah.
And it is because knowing that he is God, not giving him that position of honor, and this is so evident in the churches in South Africa, which had been, you can say, for many years, people believed, and in fact, I get into this discussion with people so often, where people tell me, Dave, what you're preaching, what you're bringing us, is so foreign to us. It's so strange because you're talking about Father Yahweh. We know him as we worship the Lord. And then I ask of them, and his name is? He said, we will call upon his name. We should call upon his name. What do you call him? And they call him Lord, but in Afrikaans. And I say, but that's not a name. That's a title.
Right.
If I spoke to you and I call you Meneer, Mister, will you respond? And no.
Especially if you're a lady.
You see, exactly. So. But it's because, and like so many of these people have already said to me, Dave, but you must remember that we have come through generations. What we believe in has been brought to us over generations. And I would ask them, somebody asked the other day, did your parents believe that it would be okay for homosexuals to be a minister? And it is this gradual, this frog in this pot of boiling water or water which is being brought to a boil, where it is so gradually instituted where you don't even realize the regression. But if all of a sudden you wake up and you realize that this is a thing that had been already planned for by 200-300 years ago. It had already right. been planned, and you fell into this agenda. You were part of this agenda, setting up this the situation and the conditions whereby this present situation could be established. And people
yes.
realize it. And so many people have turned. And daily I have people that contact me and tell me, Dave, I'm so glad you opened my eyes. I'm
yes.
so glad you got
Amen.
Me out of church. I'm so glad,
yes.
David, that
yeah.
at least there's somebody who preaches this message. And it's just because I, Pastor, and I think I've already mentioned to you, I write a little poem. And in this poem, I actually challenge people to begin to think. I've actually stated on my Facebook page where I said, when I place something on my Facebook page, I challenge you to get annoyed with me and investigate that which I state. And once you have established that I have, what I have stated is correct and true, then we can become friends again.
Yes.
And people
right.
have taken me on to task on that, Pastor, and people have actually blocked me, and people have broken friendship with me for a year or two, and they come back and they say to me, David, I need to apologize because you opened my eyes.
Right, very good.
And,
Okay. Well, here, I know the statement you just made about the current Pope worshiping Lucifer may be really, you know, shocking to people. But here on April 27, 2014, during a ceremony where Pope John Paul I and Pope John Paul II, this got to be incorrect. I don't think either one of them were alive in 2014. Maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, the Pope Francis is the Pope at this point in time. And here is the quotation from his Mass recitation. Quote, "His flame dawning his own sun, may I say to you, O Lucifer, who knows no setting, Christ is your son who came back from the dead." So, in other words, Pope Francis, and I've heard this, the word Lucifer is clearly evident in Latin, right? Because it's no different in English. He's declaring that Christ is the son of Lucifer.
Absolutely. That's exactly, but you must remember that is the Christ of the Roman Catholic Church.
Right.
That is the Jesus of the Roman Catholic Church.
Yes. And the universalism of the Roman Church, the Catholic Church, is declared in the next sentence. "And shed his light to the human race and is alive and reigns forever and ever." There's the universalism of the Roman Catholic Church. It has not changed.
Yeah.
The Bible says Israel is the covenant people, and nowhere is the identity of the covenant people changed from physical Israel to any, and it's never broadened to include the human race.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the Catholic Church is obviously apostate. Obviously apostate. And that the Pope would use the name of Lucifer in a prayer like this is simply amazing. Simply amazing. Okay, so one more adaptation here. We only have a couple of minutes left. Anyway, the Third World War would be between what he calls the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam and the political Zionism mutually destroy each other. Okay, well, this is what maybe we might take a ray of hope from this, but no, it's not like this. It's the West. It's the Christian West that is the object for destruction, not Zionism. So I maintain that even Pike himself was deluded on this score. Basically, he's taking information from the Rothschilds and repeating it here. But the Rothschilds didn't give him the real scoop, right? What's intended for destruction is the entire white race, especially those of us who call ourselves Christians. Okay? And that's who the Islamicists are targeting. They're not targeting the Jews.
But, boss, that's just something else.
Okay. Less than 30 realize, seconds. Yeah.
I don't know if you realize that the Pope has also stated on a number of occasions that no one can call himself a Christian without also being a Roman Catholic.
Right. That's right. And that's very arrogant. All right. Very good. Okay, folks, let's look around and see what's happening in the world today. These three prophecies have come true. Thanks for listening. Absolutely. Thank you, Pastor Martins. Yahweh bless everybody.
Thank you, Pastor. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.